Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 3. Starting in verse 27, the Word of God says, "Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law." There are two laws. We will live by one of them. We don't have the option. They are mutually exclusive. And we will, by our very nature and essence of who we are as born-again believers, as human beings, we will live by one of them. One of those laws is the law of faith. Now, there is another law. That law is very much like the law of faith, except slightly different. That law is the law of fear. And these are the two laws. Now, there is a third law that makes the difference between the law of faith and the law of fear. And if we live under the law of faith, then we live also under this third law. But if we do not live under this third law, then we will most certainly live under the law of fear. And that is, of course, the royal law of love. But we will live under one or the other. If I live under the law of faith, what I do with the Word of God, as I hear it, as I read it, meditate on it, will be different than what I do with the Word of God if I live under the law of fear. See, Job said, "That which I feared has come upon me." He lived in the law of fear. The law of faith and the law of fear is the same law, except that one has love and the other does not. That Jesus said, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And this is why, as a believer, if I live in fear, often my fears will be realized. It is a natural man that lives in fear. The spirit man is incapable of living in fear, because the spirit man is the man that is fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. The spirit man receives the love of God and is energized and motivated and ultimately takes over my soul and my frame of reference through the Word of God, empowered by the love of God. But how is it that a person can mix faith with what they hear? It is because of the love of God. If I don't believe God's nature, then I will not mix faith with what I hear, though I may believe its veracity. Now, there is a distinction here. It's a fine distinction, but also an important one. That to have faith is not just a conviction of the veracity of the Word of God. To have faith is a persuasion regarding the nature of God. And all things that I have faith towards, in other words, all things that my faith deals with, whether it's a faith regarding prayer or whether it's faith regarding promise or faith regarding circumstance, all things that are of faith are ultimately faith towards God's character. There is no such thing as faith towards a circumstance or even a prayer. There is only faith towards God's character and the way that God relates with me towards that circumstance or that prayer. But that is all there is in faith. This is why we live by the faith of the Son of God. Because that faith in God's character is really what Jesus lived by. When he was here on earth as a man, did he not say that he doesn't do anything and say anything that he has not gotten from his Father? He was operating in pure faith. And that pure faith he got from the Holy Spirit. And that is the exact source of where I get faith. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit bringing that Word of God to me. And that's exactly where Christ got his faith. He really was fully man, being fully God. And so he lived like a man. And he had faith toward the Father like a man. And he learned even how to be obedient through the things that he suffered, like a man. I have the same ability as the Savior did. What does that mean? He said, greater things than these shall you do. I have the same ability because I have the same Holy Spirit. What I don't have is the same quality of faith. I have the same source, but my faith sometimes as a man is limited, where his faith as a man was unlimited. But he wasn't lying when he said, if you say to this tree, be removed, or to the mountain, be removed, it'll go. It will be removed. And though you may have the faith of a mustard seed, that is a small faith that is alive. If you say to the mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, it will be so. That is the faith that comes from the Holy Spirit. It's not a presumptuous faith. It is simply knowing who you are. And it is knowing who God is and who you are in Him. That's all it is. It's not complicated. It just believes. How far will I believe? But that's the question. It's not the magnitude of my faith. It's the life of it. I don't need a lot. I just need a little, like a mustard seed. But it has to be a living faith. If I have the love of God, if I know God's nature, I will live under the rule. That's what a law is. I will live under the ruling authority of faith. That means that for me, nothing is impossible. That means that for me, I am in constant fellowship and communion with God. If I have a small but living faith. Peter had a living faith when he jumped out of the boat and walked on water. But it was a small faith. But it was a living faith. So many people ridicule Peter. I'm sorry. If someone is to ridicule Peter, tell me the last time that you walked on water. I personally never have. I don't feel that I am qualified to ridicule Peter because he had more faith than I do. He walked on water. And though he walked on water only for a season, he walked on water. He had a small but living faith. And what he saw was the life of the impossible. Because there was a rule in his heart, an authoritative rule of action. It was faith. God said, come. And so I come. And he didn't see that there was water and not ground. He saw only one thing. God said, come. And so I come. That is living faith. It's the law of faith. And if I am to experience the fullness of who God is. And unfortunately, I think many believers do not experience, but some believers do. But if I am to experience the fullness of who God is, it will be because I live by the law of faith. And the only way that I can live by the law of faith is to live with the receiving power. What's the word I'm trying to think of? Is to receive the power of the law of love. The law of love is a rule also. It's an authoritative rule of action. It's a governing precept. I am governed by the love of God, not as a motive, but as something I receive. In other words, I have no question of God's faithfulness, of God's mercy, of God's loving kindness. I have no question of God's truthfulness, of God's integrity. I have no question of God's loyalty toward me and His promises toward me. He loves me. And because He loves me, I trust Him. And because I trust Him, there is a ruling, authoritative action of faith that works by love. There is something alive in the believer who knows the love of God. That believer's life is a life of promise. That believer's life is a life of the impossible. That believer's life is a life where that which is miraculous is every day. Because God is with him every day. Jesus healed, and I think it's a safe bet, although the scriptures do not spell it out, that he probably healed almost every day while he was walking in his ministry. There is no reason why I cannot have a gift of a life like that. I'm not talking about the healing ability. I'm not talking about faith healing. I'm talking about a life where the supernatural is the normal way of life. I'm talking about a life where hearing from God is not unusual, but it's commonplace, though remarkable. I'm talking about a life where I have a conversation with God and God has a conversation with me. Just the same way you would have the conversation if you sat down at a table with a friend. This is not a life that is odd. This is a life that has been prepared for us. Unfortunately, many believers never experience that life. The reason why many believers never experience that life is because they live under a different law. The person who lives under the law of fear is a person who does not mix faith with what they hear and internalize it and is transformed by it. If I live under the law of fear, I receive the Word of God in my intellect. I do not receive it as a transforming power that is initiated by the Holy Spirit and energized by the love of God, whereby it changes who I am, how I think, and how I perceive. Instead, I am the old man that I have always been, and I receive some information from Scripture into my intellect. And so now I have academically received information, and with the old mind, I try to use that information. This is a believer who ultimately ends up very frustrated, for whom there is very little power in the Word of God. Because the source of the power of the Word of God was utterly missed. Such a believer thinks that the solution to their life is to turn to the Word of God, have the thoughts from the Word of God, but regulated in their natural ability to think. But what I don't need is my natural ability to think trying to utilize or manipulate the Word. You see, my natural ability to think is natural, but the Word of God is supernatural. So what I do is if I take simply the Word of God into my intellect, I diminish the Word of God as though it was simply another word of a man, albeit a man that I would call trustworthy, but not entirely. Authoritative, but not knowing his faithfulness. And because I recognize the authority of Scripture, it becomes a law, but it's not a transforming power. It gives no peace that passes understanding. It leaves me in a place where I try to choose and never quite know. But I apply it to my circumstance. I apply it to my emotion. I apply it according to my personality. Sometimes according to my preference. And in my efforts with the Word of God that I have no power from God to transform me with, in my efforts to utilize that Word, I turn it on a horizontal level towards circumstances rather than maintaining it in a vertical orientation like the cross, where it turns me into the character and the nature of the image of the Savior. If I live in the law of fear, the Word of God will become a difficult burden. In the law of fear, I carry the Word. In the law of love, the Word carries me. The Word is profoundly heavy. This is why the Savior said, if you fall on the rock, you'll be broken. But if the rock falls on you, you'll be crushed. If I live in the law of fear, the most that I can accomplish is natural understanding, knowing that I should have better, do better, know better, and never being able to achieve. It is the most frustrating place I can imagine a believer being. To know the truth and not be able to possess it and be possessed by it. If I live in the law of fear, I will face circumstances with trepidation. If I live in the law of faith, I will face circumstances with barely an acknowledgement. And though a law of faith will not take me out of responsible action, what it will do is it will transform my experience. You see, the experience that a person has is entirely based on how that person thinks. I can face the same set of circumstances as another person who is equally taught, has heard the Word of God equally well, perhaps from the same person for an equal amount of time. And I can live in great trepidation and they can live in great assurance and peace that passes understanding. And though they recognize the need for responsible action, perhaps, they know what to do, and I can figure out, maybe I should do this. And it may even be the same thing. But I do it in a very different experience from them. Because what determines my experience is how I think towards my circumstances or towards people or towards the places where I find myself. So my experience is completely regulated by my thinking. If I have the law of faith, then in all things I have assurance. Then I find myself somewhere, but it doesn't scare me. It doesn't make me anxious. I just say, God is here. I am in God's hand. And this is all that's necessary. God will simply take care of it. According to His word, so it shall be. As He promised, that's what He'll do. If I have the law of faith, girding myself against the enemy, girding myself against the circumstances, hardship, whatever challenge may be, not a problem. Because it's not actually me who's girded me. It's not me who has to find my covering and my energy. It's not me who has to find my leading. It's not me who has to figure things out. Living in the law of faith, another girds me. And sometimes because I live in that law of faith, I'll go to places where it would not have naturally occurred to me to go. I'll do things that would not have naturally occurred to me to do. But I have full assurance and peace that passes understanding, even in the most difficult circumstance, because I know it's not me who brought myself there. I know that there is another, and I am led by His hand in Isaiah 42, and I am in His hand in Deuteronomy chapter 3. And if I am in His hand, and if I am led by Him, then there is nothing for me to really worry about. The only way that I can get to that state is if I know His heart toward me. If I don't know that God loves me, that He honestly, with nothing withheld, actually loves me, just as I am, warts and all. If I don't know that He will be kind to me, if I don't know that His desire is toward me and His will is toward my benefit, then I will not be able to rest in His hands. If that is the case, I will try to reason things out in my intellect, applying Scripture not as a transforming power, but as a roadmap. And I will try to find my way according to Scripture, but I will never have that assurance that I'm going in the right way, because ultimately it was my mind that made the decisions. I don't rely on my own mind. I rely on the mind of Christ. I rely on the mind of the One who is truth, and the One whose nature and character is the love of God. And when I have that, then I have full assurance. And I don't just have full assurance regarding my well-being. Very frequently when it comes to things like prayer or promises or the things of God, I have full assurance of the outcome. I have full assurance that if God calls me into something, it will be He who causes that thing to come to pass. For example, if I am called to be a missionary, I have full assurance that God will not only get me to the mission field, but also provide for me on the mission field. If I know that God is calling me to Bible college, I have full assurance not only that He will get me to Bible college, but He will give me the necessary provisions that I need, financial and otherwise, to get me through Bible college. If I know that I'm called, let's say, to a specific relationship, I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to say, is it her? Is it him? Is this the right place? How come so many women, it seems to me, they say, they meet a guy, hi, and then 30 seconds later, are you my husband? You know why? They live in the law of fear. They don't believe that God loves them so much that He'll be faithful to them with a husband. They live in the law of fear. And so they take things in their natural understanding, natural intellect, natural perception, and their natural ability to try to figure things out. And they try to decide. Invariably, that is an excellent recipe for a failed relationship. How do I approach something like that? Seek first the kingdom of God. Get to know the love of God. Don't worry, by the way, young people, don't worry about getting to know another person. Get to know God and let God add someone to you. That's the only chance you have of doing it right. The law of fear will take me away from that place of trusting and put the burden on my shoulders. There's a problem with the law of fear. Jeremiah 42:16 said, "Then it shall be that the sword which you fear shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt." What does this mean? When I live in the law of fear, there's a sword that I fear. Right? There's a sword I fear. And that sword, because I am living in natural thinking, I'm having to eat at the tree of knowledge of good and evil because that is natural thinking. The only thing that I have to go by is sight and natural reasoning, impressions, rather than receiving something from the one who knows the end from the beginning. I go into this natural thinking and I go into very strange places that the world calls normal. And all of a sudden, I'll start having things like interactions with the world. And the world will do things that they ought not do to me. And I will actually enjoy them. Why? Because the sword has slew me. The sword slew me. I will fall prey to the world. The famine which you were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt. You see, the very thing that I was afraid of, that caused me to go and intellectualize rather than to simply trust because I am the beloved of God, that very thing will bring me to the place where my fear is realized. Now, if you are listening to this on the internet, do not get introspective if you are going through difficult circumstances. If you are living in the law of fear, change your mind. The person who takes the promises but gets no peace from them is living in the law of fear. What you need isn't the promises. What you need is His character. Not that you need to possess His character. You need to meditate on His character toward you. You see, God will be faithful to His promises regardless of whether you so-called claim them or not. Why? God said them. God will be faithful to me regardless of whether I am aware of a specific promise. Why? Because God gave it. And He is the Word. And so, what I need to do is get to know the heart of God toward me. I need to get to know the love and the sweetness and the gentleness and the kindness and the goodness of God toward me. Do you know why, unfortunately, many people do not believe that gentleness and goodness of God will be towards them particularly? Because people have not been kind to them. People have not been gentle to them or sweet to them. And they don't believe God will be either. But God is not a man. God is not like a man. Do not relate to God as though He is a man. He is God. He created man, and man fell. God is uncreated and not capable of falling. God's character towards me cannot change. He is not the Son of Man that He should repent. His nature, His love, His mercy, His faithfulness toward me cannot change. He will be kind because that is who He is. He cannot change. He will be true to you. He will be faithful to you because that is who He is. He cannot change. He calls you His beloved, and there is no second-class beloved. There is only the beloved of God. That cannot change either. And even if you lived in the law of fear, if I believe not, He will still abide faithful. But the law of fear completely changes my experience. And instead of standing still and seeing the salvation of God, I intellectualize and try to decide. And once I get to that point, I can very easily step out from the perfect will of God. Because I'm not deciding through the Holy Spirit and the faithfulness of the love of God. I'm not deciding through leading because I've been transformed by the Word. I'm deciding with a natural mind trying to deal with a supernatural circumstance without the ability to hold the supernatural nature of the Logos. And it never goes beyond being Logos. It never goes to being Rhema. It never goes to the word that proceeds from the mouth of God directly to my heart for my life. It simply stays as an objective word. A lot of people, because they fear, are more comfortable with the objective word rather than with a subjective quickening and empowering by the Holy Spirit through the Word to take a subjective mind into objectivity. Instead, they take an objective word and bring it into a subjective mind. What happens there? Well, because they feel more comfortable, because it does not require a cross, because sight can be maintained and a religious mentality can be taken out, because you still say, I have the Word of God, when that happens, I live in completely natural but religious reasoning. My decisions are not made through leading, they are made through natural reason with a religious coat. The love of God changes that. It's not possible for that small seed of faith to be alive if the love of God has not permeated. But if I have the love of God, knowing that in all things He will be true to me, and He said that if I would say to this mountain, "Be thou removed," it will pick itself up and it will be cast into the sea. But do you believe that He loves you that much? How many people like to hear the message but can't live the message? I'll tell you something. He loves you that much. You can face the most impossible circumstances and experience total victory in complete peace through the love of God. Without the love of God, there is no living faith. And so the only faith that I have is faith in the veracity of His Word rather than in the faithfulness of His character. And I can't make His Word function. His Word functions because He is the Word. And so if the Holy Spirit is alive, and by alive I don't mean positionally, as with every believer, but by alive I mean has a controlling power and energy over my life, where His thoughts, which are the Word of God, become my thoughts because of the living strength of the Holy Spirit, and that quickened to me by the Holy Spirit to the human spirit, through the human spirit to the soul, from the human spirit to the soul by the means of God's love. When that takes place, not only is nothing impossible for the believer through Christ, but that believer faces all things with complete faith rest. Why? Because I know in whom I have believed. And if I know who I have believed, then believing will not be a problem. But if I don't know the love of God, if I don't believe that He loves me sufficiently, and He loves me way beyond sufficiently, but if I don't know that He loves me sufficiently, then I'm not going to have faith rest for much of anything. Because just short of sufficiently is never sufficient. Whatever the circumstance, it's not the circumstance that's causing your experience. You see, I relate the Word to my circumstance. I don't relate my experience to the Word. In other words, the Word of God dictates my experience. My experience does not dictate how I internalize the Word of God. If I am at a place where my experience filters the word, I'm living by the law of fear. Because the reason why I'm filtering with experience is because I'm afraid of repeating a negative experience. But I've got news for you. Your negative experience was negative because of the law of fear, not because of the Word. If I mixed the Word of God, if I brought the Word of God by mixing faith with what I hear and letting it be quickened in me by the love of God, if I take the Word of God and I bring it to my experience, to bring it to my circumstances, then the experience that I have in my circumstances will be one of faith rest in God's promises. But if I try to relate to the Word according to my experiences, I will have no faith rest, and I will have absolutely no capacity to live by the promises of God. Ultimately, it will always be up to me to figure it out, to do it, to solve the problem, whatever it is. And I don't have the ability, and I know it. This is why so many people, albeit wonderful believers who sincerely do love God, are always terrified. Why? They don't know they're loved. And even if God tells them through the pulpit or some other means that He loves them, they don't believe it. And through a pseudo-humility that's a self-exalting factor in their personality, they say, oh, no, not me. That's pride. And even if they hear that kind of definition, they'll rather be condemned because it exalts self. But it's always going to result in fear. You see, what they've done is what 2 Kings 18:21 says. They've trusted in the staff of a broken reed, Egypt. And if a man leans on that staff, it'll pierce his hand and go through it. Never a victorious experience, although in an utterly victorious position. That's a dreadful place to be. What happens if I am there? Well, if I am there, then the fear that I have to realize it is misplaced. You see, it's not that love is the absence of fear per se. It's that love brings in the right kind of fear. In Deuteronomy 17:19, the Word of God says, "And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God." It's talking about the Word of God there. "That he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them." In other words, I will keep the Word, I will hold the Word, and my life will be transformed by the Word. If I have fear, then have fear of God. Not a fear where I'm afraid to approach, but a fear where I know that I am very small, but He is very big. You see, here's the problem. If you fear your circumstance, and this is why you will intellectualize the Word if you fear something, if you live in fear, whatever you fear, you reverence. If you fear your circumstance, you will reverence your circumstance. Now, I didn't say you would love it. I said you will reverence it. You will see it as high and powerful. And you will make your decisions on the basis of that reverence. And to deal with life, to deal with circumstances, to deal with the things that come your way, you will have to intellectualize because you've reverenced the wrong thing. And because that reverence produces no life in you, the best you'll be able to do is try to deal in your intellect. And to equip your intellect, you will try to take in the Word of God as an academic exercise to have knowledge. And then you may feel equipped. The problem is that the letter kills. And knowledge puffs up. Two things that are contrary to the character of God. Learn to fear God more than your circumstances. You see, the thing that I fear is the thing that is the biggest in my life. So learn to fear God more than your circumstances. Here's the other part of it. If I learn to fear God, He'll teach me to love Him. How will He teach me to love Him? Because if I learn to fear Him, then I listen closely to what He says. And He says, "You are precious in my eyes, and I have loved you." If I learn to fear God, I'll learn to love Him. This is how we go through our lives. And suddenly God is bigger and more capable. And because He loves me, I'm not afraid. If He didn't love me, I maybe would be afraid. Because fear has torment. But I know that He loves me. And so I'm not afraid. But because I still fear Him, I know He is big. He's bigger than me, and He's bigger than whatever I'm facing. But because I love Him and He loves me, then what I am facing, I know He'll take care of. And I have complete assurance and complete faith rest and complete peace. And I'm able to live in the presence of God. And in His presence there is fullness of joy. Even in the most difficult hardship. The question is, what do you fear? This experience thing is important. I don't think that we always understand just how important that experience thing really is. But this experience thing is important. In Romans chapter 5, the Word of God says, in verse 3, we glory in tribulation. How can anybody possibly glory in tribulation? Because they have something. If you're wondering, how can anyone glory in tribulation? The reason is they have something you're not aware of. We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, or as the Old King James says, patience. And patience produces character, a godly character. Why does patience produce a godly character? Because the first characteristic of who God is patience in 1 Corinthians 13:4. Patience works in me God's character. This is why Isaiah 40 says, they that wait upon the Lord renew their strength. Why? Because patience works in me God's character. And as it's working in me God's character then produces hope in me. Why? Because I'm learning the love of God. And faith is no longer a wishful thought. Faith is a confident assurance and a conviction of realities that I cannot see in Hebrews 11:1. And I have no question about their reality. My sight is not an issue for me. I simply know and believe what God said. And because I completely trust His character, I have no misgivings about His faithfulness to perform what He said He would perform. I know He's faithful. Do you get what it means that God is faithful? That means He won't waver. He won't balk. He won't withhold. He won't get a grudge toward me just because I didn't have a capacity to trust Him. He's faithful. He does as He said He'll do. If I pray, He really will answer. And even if I fail, He still loves me. That does not change. It is the character and the nature of who He is. When I have that living in me, my experience becomes amazing. Circumstances don't dictate experience. Thinking does. And perseverance, character, and character, hope, and hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. There is no way for a believer who knows the love of God to be disappointed by Him. If I fear, then I'm always oriented on a horizontal plane, but the vertical is stifled. But if I know the love of God, the horizontal plane is just a detail of life. And God's faithfulness is the issue in my life. This is why it says in closing in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, mind this juxtaposition. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. How is that going to happen? Well, faith works by love. That's how it's going to happen. You see, my own understanding is where the law of fear comes in. But trust in the Lord, but trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's the law of faith. That is subject to the royal law of love. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. You see, the royal law of love gives me complete confidence that if I have acknowledged Him, He directed my path. And if the outcome is such by sight, then I do not immediately understand. It doesn't faze me at all. Because I'm not oriented in a horizontal perspective. I'm oriented toward a Christ who is vertically oriented on a cross, and I am there with Him. What does that mean? That means that I'm experiencing the life of God as self-life is pushed aside. Do not be wise in your own eyes. The person who is wise in his own eyes is only so because he lives by fear. And so he intellectualizes that which he has, that which he receives. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. What is evil? Evil is the satanic system of government. How does it work? It works by the wrong law in Psalm 94. Do you understand that it's a throne of iniquity? Iniquity is simply when I orient in my emotions, and then my emotions become negative because of the wrong orientation. That doesn't happen in the law of faith. That only happens in the law of fear. When Satan approached Eve, he approached her with fear. When Satan approaches the believer, he will in some way or another approach with fear. Young people, how afraid are you that you won't find a spouse? You're being approached by the enemy. And so in the back of your minds, you may be tempted to do something about it. You're being approached by the enemy. Why? To take you away from the one who God had intended for you. By the way, young folks, I don't know why this is coming up so much, but by the way, young folks, you're already spoken for. How many young guys look at a young woman and say, is she a prospective wife? You know what the answer to that is? No, she's not. Unless she is the one that God brought, then she's not. Do you think that God really doesn't have a perfect role for that huge a part of your life and a perfect provision? Do you honestly believe that God doesn't really care which one? Here He gets wishy-washy and vague, where in all other aspects of your call, He's very precise. That's the law of fear. You get to know God, and in due time, He'll add someone to you. Don't worry about adding someone to yourself. You be occupied and concerned with getting to know Him. And in due time, He'll bring someone to you. He'll bring someone to you. You see, the problem with me being occupied with that as a young person is then I'll choose. And I've got news for you. I'll choose wrong. Because I'll only be able to choose by sight. That's why you have bad relationships. By the way, young people, if you're really worried about getting married, why? You honestly think it won't come? I tell you one thing, you're better off with it not coming than coming with the wrong person. You get the wrong person, and you will learn what it means to suffer. And you will learn what it means to pick up a cross. So many people worry about that. It's usually because they don't know what they're talking about. You can't pick anybody. You don't know their heart. You don't know their heart. And I don't care how well you think you do, you don't know their heart. But I know them very well. Do you know them 10 years from now? You don't know anything. God does the choosing. It's a call. By the way, it is a call. It's not a preference. It's a call. Trust in the Lord in all your ways. And verse 8, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. It really will. You get rid of all those nasty little stress enzymes. The stress hormones killing you decades early. By the way, I don't know why this is coming so heavy. Make sure that as you consider who may be of God, as you're being led by God, ask God for someone kind. See, you get someone unkind and you think you can handle it, you don't know what you're talking about. Personally, I think in some respects, like places like workforces, unkindness should be outlawed. Illegal. You know why? It kills people. There's been studies done where you have a harsh boss who's perhaps difficult or a screamer or something like that. The stress hormone levels in the people that have to work for that person are sky high. Those are things that can take decades off your life. An unkind person is a murderer. This is why Jesus said, if you are angry with your brother, you have killed him. The effect that unkindness has in somebody's life takes decades off their life. You kill them. Don't even begin to consider someone who's unkind, because they don't have the character of God. And I'm not saying that somebody can't have a bad day or fail. I mean as a lifestyle. Trust in the Lord in all your ways. You can only do that if you know how much He loves you. So don't try to grab a promise to your circumstance. Grab the character of God first. And if you are afraid in your circumstance, a promise isn't going to do you any good for your fear. Meditate on the love of God. It'll take your fear out, and then the promises become alive. Amen?